Good morning, dear brethren. It's a joy to be here today and to see your wonderful faces and have this opportunity to fellowship again. We bring the love of my mother, Sister Margaret Greenhouch, and she would have loved to have been with us, but unfortunately not able this time. And also Sister Linda Tosh and Brother Greg Tosh rang especially to have their love to be passed on to you all at the convention. The tests of the new creation. Today we would like to review this topic relating to the new creation, in particular, tests. It is a study that reminds us of this precious condition and opportunity we have been called to, and the mechanism, that process, that proves us worthy. And that is by divine grace. If we are in the end faithful overcomers, approved, attested of God. We would like to look at the new creation with its tests. That includes the flesh, the world, and the devil. And have some thoughts on building our faith and our fellowship. We find the new creation outlined in 2 Corinthians 5:15 to 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. Wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us unto himself through Christ, and gave us unto the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling a world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be a sin offering on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Apostle Paul tells us here in verse 17, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Paul again shows this transition working through God's Holy Spirit. In Titus chapter 2 and 11 to 14, I'm reading this one from the RVIC. Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, to the intent that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might ransom us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. The transition is for one to give a full consecration to God, therefore passing from death into life. The old will, with all its hopes and desires, are to be buried, taking the new journey of the upward call, the high heavenly ways of Christ Jesus. It is within this, the new creation, we learn that there is an outcalling. In the Greek, it is ecclesia, or assembly, The body of devoted ones is referred to in Scripture as to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. This scripture reference is in part Hebrews 12 and 23. Romans chapter 12, 4 and 5 expresses further. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. The new creation is made up of many members in which the assembly or church is developed under trials and tests. Each one is called of God. This is a very touching and intimate situation that continues until God has made up his desired purpose. We read of our calling in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26 to 30. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Now, let us draw our minds to the tests that are upon the new creation. We would like to highlight and learn from many examples in scriptures. And we even can learn much from the Holy Word, which with God's dealings with man since creation, since the flood, the patriarchs, and the nation of Israel. And we see the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is devoted to men and women that of old that endured tests of faithfulness to God, gaining approval and commendation for their faith. These great examples and lessons to us are recorded for our benefit to search the scriptures, to provide us hope and faith that God will indeed increase our faith. We recognize also that there has been since the beginning an oppressor of and to the plan of God. And thus we realize the life of faith was necessary to draw us near again to God. Let's realize that since Satan rebelled and that the first parents of mankind were disobedient to God and deceived by that serpent, the curse on and the fall of mankind has continued to this day. If we look to the times and the life of Christ, the early church, and the periods or stages through the gospel age, till these final stages of the harvest period, we have three common tests: the adversary, the world, and the flesh. We would like to first look at the flesh. As we just earlier read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. The flesh is the old things, the old man, the sinful fallen flesh, and it has to be put off to develop the new, the spiritual. The flesh has to be crucified, as we are instructed in Galatians 5, 24 and 25. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. To belong to Christ, we have to know him intimately. And at consecration, when we give up our own will to do the Heavenly Father's will, we allow and desire our new heart to be fully under the Master's control. It is a daily work of keeping our spiritual life as we realize the old man, the former ways, the flesh, are at great contrast, and we no longer walk in futility or darkness, but have life, new life in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and 20 to 24 explains this change from the ways of the flesh and the hardness of heart. And it reads, Ephesians 4, 20 to 24. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you by renewed in that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The Christian's warfare is that the flesh is attempting to make a stand or a place. It will strive for selfish ambition to the detriment to the new creation. Therefore, we must keep our hearts, train them, direct them to God's love given to us in Christ and to his plan and to his character and in love of the brethren and to all that is in harmony with the Lord and his righteousness and truth. This passage in 1 John 3:13 to 18 explains the important test of developing love and putting away the flesh. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Brethren, our fight against the flesh is only possible through close communion with our Heavenly Father. In this passage we just read, do not be surprised if the world hates you. This is our next trial or test for the new creation, the world. The world is an enemy to the new creation. The world is this present evil world that is corrupted with sin. The world and the spirit of the world is primarily selfish, immoral, and materialistic. As we look out on the degradation in the world today, it is on account of sin, and we notice further that the systems of this order are crumbling before our very eyes. This condition was also evident in our Lord Jesus' time. And with the gospel, it had attracted many to be called out from the world and into a faith that promised a better time, the good news of the kingdom. However, the Lord Jesus taught some hard sayings also, and many couldn't accept the concept of self-denial and giving up the ways of the world, and followed him no further. The invitation was taken up by some true and honest disciples, and we are blessed by their work in preaching the gospel of the kingdom in the days after that the Holy Spirit was given for the encouragement of the early church. The new creation are called ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5 again, this time in verse 20. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus compared the Pharisees to have been of this world below, while Jesus was not of this world, but being from above. Our focus in battling with the spirit of the world should be as our Master teaches us in John chapter 8 and verse 12. And then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. As we are to be lights also, may we pray for strength and wisdom to give a witness or a message of hope or comfort to those with whom we move. We should also be on guard for weaknesses that might compromise our allegiances to our Heavenly Father. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, it clearly expresses that entanglement with the world is not from the Father. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. The Lord Jesus set these most perfect examples of how to deal with the world, and we learn much by reading and studying the gospel accounts. There are records of many faithful followers of Christ that lived and died for their faith, following the command to go forth into the nations, making disciples for Christ. The new creation has an instruction to be in the world, but not of it. It is not the purpose to convert the world in this time, but to be a witness. And we have the Master's words again to encourage us in John 16, 32 and 33. Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. The trial to overcome the world is one that requires patience, endurance, faith, integrity, and commitment to deal with each and every situation. There is hardships and sufferings and persecutions for the true follower of Christ. Our words, our thoughts, and our deeds are to be focused on service to God. The Apostle Paul gave a further example of selfless service in 2 Timothy 2 and 10 through 13. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with its eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And verse 16 instructs us, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. In these last days, we pray earnestly for one another that we may overcome, as our Lord Jesus prayed to his Heavenly Father during the final trials of his earthly ministry. In John chapter 17, and 14 to 17. Jesus prays, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. In this prayer, our Lord Jesus prays for the faithful followers, that they may be kept from the evil one. This introduces the other specific trial to the new creation, the devil. After reviewing the flesh and the world, let's now spend a short time to view the church's great foe. Before looking at this subject, I was amazed at the number of references that there are in Scripture to Satan. Many try to disprove that there is such an existence. However, the Word of God plainly states this fact. The Apostle Peter instructs the servants of God to be humbled under the mighty hand of God and to be alert. 1 Peter 5, 8-10 reads, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." The devil is one of the names of Satan. In the Greek for devil, it is diabolos, and it means an accuser, a slanderer. We are told to be alert, as this wily foe will prowl and use deception and snares. He uses lies, for he is the father of lies. In this way, he has been the ruler of this world. So much of the world and what we think of the world religions are under his sway. However, we are indeed grateful for the word of truth and for the ransom sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to whom has brought judgment on the ruler of this world, and in God's due time will fully execute the work of Revelation chapter 20 and 2 and 3. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and he threw him into the abyss and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. And we understand that after the little season and the final testing of all of God's family of mankind, that the evil one and all that is not in harmony with God will be removed in that picture of the lake of fire. The Christian in this time is as enlisted as in the army to be a soldier of the cross. The armor of God is a requirement in our battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 17. "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So, brethren, if we take this armor and prayer and be on alert, we can be overcomers. Just as Job was permitted a hedge around him, our Heavenly Father knows what we require. Our tests are to develop our characters. That is, to disclose our inner qualities of our hearts, our thoughts, our words, and actions. We also must be aware that our love will not wax cold for our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus, but needs to be fervent, as with our love for the brethren. I would like to close with reading 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen.